In this world, I don't know if you're noticing the trend that even the most faithful of atheists out there, they're turning into Gnostics. Even the most biggest Bible critiquers out there, they're telling you that they're ancient aliens, ascended masters. That yes, there could be your creator, but they will never tell you that that creator is Jesus.
Now we're going to talk about extraterrestrial life forms. Researchers at Harvard speculate that an unidentified technologically advanced population could be secretly living among humans on Earth. Those Harvard researchers joined forces with scientists over at the Montana Technological Institute. In a new paper, the team hypothesized that sightings of UFOs, quote, could be signs of aliens, quote, concealed in stealth here on Earth or even, quote, walking among us. The researchers urged the scientific community to keep an open mind and be open to their claims. The research also shared the possible existence of a non-human underground civilization that may be, quote, descendants of unknown intelligent dinosaurs, and also determined there could be hidden occupants likened to angels or fairies that have traveled to Earth.
We're seeing a shift. And when you see what is happening all over the world, you're starting to hear that conversation of climate crisis. You're starting to hear that conversation of the Earth is heating up to stages that never have happened before.
This past Sunday, July 21st, it was the hottest day in 84 years across the planet. 62.7 degrees. Now, that doesn't sound that hot, but when you average out all the temperatures all around the world, that is hot. The last 10 years have each seen the hottest day ever. So it's just getting warmer and warmer.
And yes, there's an agenda with their whole global warming. All of that is factual, but you know what else is factual? That there are prophecies that are spoken of in scripture that warns of plagues, extreme weather events, fearful sights in the heavens. And these are things that are gonna happen, and when they happen, they need to have a scapegoat.
California's biggest wildfire doubling in size overnight, tearing through four counties and threatening thousands of homes. One man comparing it to a freight train steaming through his community.
It looked like one mass of smoke and flames. Yards by yards, it wasn't moving foot by foot. It was by yards, it was leaps and bounds coming through.
Now, U.S. cities are breaking decades-old temperature records this week as heat wave stretches from central to eastern portions of the country. Now, it has triggered alerts for 75 million Americans in the central and northeast, with temperatures hitting past 94 degrees Fahrenheit, or that's around 34.4 degrees Celsius.
For you see, it's far better to blame a cow farting for damaging the environment. It's much easier for them to tell you that they need to do lab-grown meats to feed the world because of depopulation. It's much easier for them to tell you that the reason why crops aren't growing and we have to cloud seed to manipulate the weather because crops are not growing, so they need to manipulate the seeds because the seeds aren't growing. It's much easier to tell you that all of this is because of global warming than to admit the reality that the clock is ticking. That the clock is ticking. And this clock, as it ticks and ticks and ticks, we are going to see things happen that they will use some sort of a scapegoat other than understanding that humanity is in peril, that humanity is in a point that either we repent or, as the days of Noah, that ark's door will soon shut. And when it shuts, it's going to be too late.
Professor Stephen Hawking and other scientists believe that to secure the future of the human species, we must colonize another planet.
To stay risks annihilation. It could be an asteroid hitting the Earth. It could be a new virus, climate change, nuclear war, artificial intelligence gone rogue. We can, and must, use our curiosity and intelligence to look to the stars. We must do it now before humanity is overtaken by some disaster that we can neither anticipate nor control.
For humans to survive, we need to find a planet that's rocky and about the same size and density as the Earth. so that its gravity will be similar to our own. Then, the crucial thing we need to sustain life is liquid water at the surface. That means we need to find a planet that orbits in the habitable zone of its star, the distance where the temperature is just perfect for liquid water. For our sun, a yellow dwarf star, the habitable zone stretches from around the orbit of Venus to the orbit of Mars. Earth sits neatly right in the middle. We now know that there is a planet around our stellar next-door neighbor that could be suitable for colonization. Welcome to Proxima B. It's a little more massive than the Earth, and it's almost certainly a rocky planet. And there might just be liquid water at the surface. Proxima B might be our best destination for mankind's new home.
Revelation 16, it speaks of a moment, right? And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Elon Musk, that's an example of a man who repenteth not. Transhumanists all over the world. They repenteth not. Yet hear how they talk. Listen to what they say. They're clearly telling you that the countdown is on, but the pride of man doesn't allow man to repent and understand that what is approaching is judgment.
So we should try to create, make the city self-sustaining before any possible level 3. This is just a risk. This is not, you know, I think sometimes people have difficulty dealing with probabilities. You see them this way or that way, but it's really, we just base a series of probabilities. There's some chance that we will have a giant war or a super volcano or, you know, a comet might hit the Earth, or we might just self-extinguish. And frankly, right now, civilization's not looking super strong. You know, it's looking a little rickety right now, to be frank. It's not an escape vehicle. I mean, unless Mars is made self-sustaining, which will probably not happen in my lifetime, it is certainly not. It's meaningless to have an escape, you know, lifeboat or escape hatch or something, if you're simply moving to another place where you will soon die out. That doesn't count. It's not much of a lifeboat, really. So this is really about, say, minimizing existential risk for civilization as a whole, and then having an exciting future that you can look forward to, and a future where we are a space-faring civilization and multi-planet species is far more exciting than one where we are not. I mean, that's an exciting future, and being forever confined to Earth until some eventual extinction event is depressing and not fun. We need things that make you want to get out of bed in the morning and be excited about the future. And I think being a space-faring civilization is one of those things that everyone can get excited about.
If it were possible for them to colonize Mars, if it were possible for them to colonize the moon, they could go colonize Saturn if they want to. The issue is pride, and the issue is sin. And let me tell you, you cannot outrun the judgment of God. When you have Mark Zuckerberg building bunkers, when you have all of these people strategizing how to be able to evade death, there are legends of people like Disney, Walt Disney himself, there are legends that he is frozen, awaiting a moment of singularity and transhumanism. All of these people know something is coming, but the pride of man is something else. It's something else. And what I encourage you today to do, what I encourage all believers to do, is as we're witnessing all of these things unfold, and as you're witnessing plagues unfold, as you're witnessing judgment unfold, that you stay focused on the kingdom of God that you abide in Christ and that you come out from among her, my people. Revelation 18 tells you, come out from among her so that you're not partaker of her plagues. You know, Luke 21:11 tells us, fearful sights in the heavens, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, extreme weather, all of these things, UFOs, what is it? I don't know what'll pop up, but you know what? God didn't tell us these things so we can live in fear. God didn't warn us of these things so we can operate with a trembling and a fearful... No. The only one who you should fear is the Heavenly Father, the Most High. Because the elite of this world, because the powers that be of this world, they may just have a point that the countdown is ticking. They may just be right that our days on earth are numbered. But what they fail to understand is that there is eternal life provided to us in Jesus. That there is eternal free gift of salvation offered to us in Jesus. They're depending on fallen angel technology. They're depending on fallen angel ideologies. And because of so, their end is not going to be a good one. In the name of Jesus Christ, may now more than ever, you and I be kingdom minded. May now more than ever, you and I be focused on his kingdom, on his instructions, and on his commandments. Can we pray for a moment? Heavenly Father, you know the brothers and you know the sisters that are listening to this audio from all over the world. Thank you for bringing us together and allowing us another day to live for you. Father, the leaders of this world, the elite of this world, the people of this world, they're operating in pride and in rebellion. You know, in Revelation 16, verse 9, when it says, Heavenly Father, they repented not. Oh, Heavenly Father, if there is anyone watching this that has allowed sin in their life to get them to a point that it no longer hurts, and we operate with that same mind of they repented them not, Father, in the name of Jesus, please allow us, all me included, to never get to that point. We may go through trials, we may go through wounds, we may cry, we may have moments of anxiety, we may have moments where we want to quit, like Elijah when he was under the juniper tree, but you were still gentle with Elijah when he was asking for his life to end, and you restored him, and today in Jesus' name, there are many that are listening to this that are going to be restored in your precious name, via your precious power, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I say this and I say this again. I am so grateful that you took of the time to watch this. If you're new to this channel, subscribe. Okay, hit the notification bell as well. We have a wide variety of content here throughout the week. And if you could do me a huge favor and press the thumbs up button, it does a very, very big thing. Let me tell you why. Because we're non-monetized. So we depend on you pressing the thumbs up and sharing this content so it can get some traction. Not just this channel, but consider doing that with any other channel that's trying to do the best they can for Jesus. All right. Also, thank you for those that are considering supporting this work. It goes a very long way. And just know that I am grateful to you. I am grateful to your kindness. And can I extend a cordial invite? Here you go. Here it is. We have a secondary channel. Okay. It's an exclusive access type of a channel, but it's free. So it has weekly devotionals on there. It has live fellowship on Wednesdays and on the Sabbath as well. It's free, doesn't cost you anything. This is not something that's hidden behind a paywall or on Patreon. We're just trying to do the best to reach people for Jesus. So if you're interested in that, here on the screen, you're going to see a video pop up now. You click on it and you'll be able to see an example of what our live fellowship looks like. It's free and you're cordially invited. God bless you. Tune into the next one in a couple of days. See you later.